Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the house that God has provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Our text today comes from Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. And I shall be reading portions of our text as our message progresses. And I ask that God would add His blessing as we read, hear, and study His Word. You know, last week we talked about a character that we think about every year at this time as being a part of the Christmas story. That is the innkeeper. And we have no historical evidence that he or she existed. Well, today we're going to talk about a forgotten figure of Christmas. Now, I wonder how many of you were raised, how you were raised to celebrate the Christmas holiday. How are you raising your children or grandchildren to regard the Christmas holiday? Well, hopefully your rearing process is similar to the family which celebrated Christmas every year with a Christmas party for Jesus. An extra chair was placed at the dinner table so that they could be reminded of Jesus' presence with them, and they had a birthday cake and sang happy birthday to express their joy at Jesus' being with them. Well, on one Christmas Day afternoon, a visitor to this family home asked the 5-year-old daughter, Ruth, did she get everything that she wanted for Christmas? And she hesitated only briefly and said, no, but it's not my birthday. Now, this young child, Ruth, recognized that Christmas is and should be all about Jesus. And while it is about Jesus' birthday, there are characters involved in the nativity event that we recognize and remember. Most of them we remember. And I say most because sometimes there is an exception, and usually that exception is Joseph. You know, the cast of characters associated with the story of Jesus' birth is colorful and very memorable, and we recognize them by their unique speaking parts. We remember the angels who appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and he tells her of the glorious event of which she is to be a part. And Mary, being a part of the divine selection to be the mother of Jesus, sings a beautiful song recorded in Luke, the first chapter. The shepherds became early evangelists. In Luke's first chapter, he talks about that the shepherds hastened to see this baby child born and then goes out and tells others what they know about this child. The wise men are desperate to worship this child, and they make every effort to find the newborn king, and they prepare to present him with wonderful gifts of worship. Oddly enough, only Joseph has no speaking part. Think about that. He is the lone, silent member of the cast and is often forgotten. We have angels bringing heavenly greetings. Mary sings a praiseful solo. Gabriel announces to Mary her part. Shepherds preach. Wise men worship. Joseph is silent. No lines are attributed to him. No sound bites. No memorable quotes. Only silence. But however, Joseph, although he is silent, is an indispensable part of the story of Jesus' birth. His importance cannot be overstated, for through Joseph, God protected the unborn life of Jesus and preserved human life for the Savior. You know, God protects the unborn promises and purposes that Jesus has in our lives. And in our lives today, this very day, there is an aspect of God's will yet unknown. There is a promise yet to be fulfilled, a word yet to be manifest, a ministry yet to be completed, a friend or a loved one yet to be saved. And each event is faithfully watched over and protected by God in order that it may be realized for His glory in our lives. You know, Joseph's life teaches us important and necessary lessons which we need to preserve and to realize God's purpose and promises in our lives. Joseph's life was a lesson in righteous mercy. Look in our text, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now we are introduced to Joseph while he is in the middle of an unwelcome nightmare. Having become engaged to Mary, to this beautiful young girl in the tradition of the Jewish marriage courting process, he has worked hard to establish an income so that he can support his family, support his wife. He truly, truly loves Mary, and he believed that she loved him until receipt of word that she was pregnant. His precious bride was pregnant, heartbroken, and betrayed. How do you think Joseph should respond? Should he publicly shame her and ask for a declaration or certificate of divorce? Should he turn her over for a public stoning, which was the penalty for adultery? Her explanation of the pregnancy was unbelievable, if not profane. So how could Joseph, how should Joseph react? Joseph chose the path of mercy. He did not desire to expose Mary to public ridicule, to public disgrace. So God's word tells us that he intended to divorce her quietly. This response to Mary's pregnancy by Joseph is one born out of solid character. Before he even received any divine explanation as to Mary's circumstances, Joseph on his own decides to extend mercy to Mary. No malice, no expression of anger on his part. Certainly words would have been appropriate. How could you do this to me? Who is the father? Tell me his name. But Joseph did not even confront her. No words are recorded, only his tenderness towards Mary. Joseph was probably the talk of Nazareth, don't you think? Friends must have distanced themselves from him with snide comments. Yet he would not hurt Mary, no matter what he thought she had done to him. This is the conduct of a just and merciful man. While Joseph could have demanded a bit of justice, he chose instead a righteous mercy. And it's the mercy of Joseph which preserved the life of Mary and the life of her unborn child. And this merciful carpenter would raise a merciful Savior. Joseph's life lesson in redemptive faith. Look at verses 20 through 23 of our text. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God's plans for us are protected by faith, by redemptive faith. In other words, when we trust God, then we shall receive his promises. He shall fulfill them for us. And we see this trust in Joseph in his willingness to believe God. Joseph intended to end his engagement to Mary quietly by divorcing her, but now God is ready to let Joseph in on a little glimpse of the divine plan that he has for him and Mary and her unborn son. And in Joseph's dream, God reminds him of his God-given identity. God's angelic messenger calls him Joseph, son of David. The God who watches over the plans and purposes for our lives wants us to know who we are in him. Do you understand that Jesus has a special identity? That in Jesus you have a special identity as a member of the family of God? Do you understand that God knows who you are? When you recognize these two facts, you develop confidence in God working through the circumstances in which you find yourself to perfect his purpose. God assured Joseph, you do not have to be afraid. Faith is what you need. Fear is the enemy of faith and the enemy of hope. It steals our hope from us. But because of God's assurance, Joseph could take stock of his dilemma and possess hope even when the circumstances seemed impossible. Now, God gave instructions to Joseph. He was to take Mary as his wife. He was to name the child to which she would give birth, Jesus, which means God of salvation. And he was to trust and follow God, just as we must do today in order to have his purposes and plans for our lives fulfilled. Now, God assured Joseph that there was divine involvement in his life, that the circumstances through which Joseph was going were controlled by God. They were in God's grasp, and God could do as he pleased. So now Joseph has a different perspective. Faith is believing according to the promise of God's word. And as God informs us through our faith, then our hope is strengthened to trust him no matter what the circumstances. Joseph's life was a life of ready obedience. Look at verses 24 through 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Obedience followed Joseph's faith. He did as he was commanded. You know, the Bible discusses obedience with faith and faith with obedience. In other words, it's the same, it's just two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. So with an informed faith guiding him to trust God, Joseph obeyed the commands that God's angel had given him. He would take Mary to be his wife, and he would suffer the comments and the caustic remarks about a child conceived prior to the marriage. He would obey God in spite of the fact that his son would be born under a cloud of adultery. Joseph would obey by giving the name spoken by the angel, Jesus. And Joseph does obey. His obedience was ready. He didn't wait a month. He didn't wait 3 months. He didn't wait a week. He immediately did what God has commanded. And we need to consider the location of Joseph's obedience. Egypt. You know, Egypt holds a special significance in God's word. In the Old Testament, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and taken to Egypt as a slave. Over time, the people of Israel became slaves of Egypt. Therefore, Egypt is remembered by the Israelites as a place of oppression. And places of oppression are not welcome places of refuge. But as unwelcome as Egypt was, it was often a place where obedience to God meant godly people journeyed. How often did God send people to oppressive places? Moses was commanded to return to Egypt, even though it meant the possibility of death for him. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are condemned to a fiery furnace in Babylon. Daniel has to face the lion in the lion's den. These places of obedience which God sends us to are not always comfortable. So Joseph takes Mary and Jesus to Egypt. He gives up an established carpenter's business. He leaves friends, he leaves families to obey God and to travel to Egypt. But what he knew was that Herod could not destroy him and his family in a place of obedience. And we need to recognize that Satan cannot touch us if we are in a place in obedience to God's command, regardless of how uncomfortable that place may be. God's promises are preserved in places of obedience. Mercy, faith, and obedience are all traits that are necessary for us to preserve and to realize God's plans and purposes for our lives. And I wonder today, are you waiting for a particular promise of God to be fulfilled? Are you looking for an answer to a hopeful prayer which has not come yet? Well, then you need to be like Joseph, the forgotten figure of Christmas. You need to be merciful to others, and you need to be faithful and obedient to God. And if you are not a child of God, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what better time than this season of Christmas than to accept Him? To come forward and confess your sins and profess faith in Him so that you may have eternal life.